We got some young ones, so we're going to kind of buzz over their head and use Bible words as we come through here. But there's something to it. Joshua 5. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask and pray you'd help us to understand your words. And for some reason, you required this of Abraham. And I'll bet you he was scratching his head on that one, as well as his servants. And Lord, I have not a clue why you require this. So we're trying to figure out a little bit, but yet it's an amazing thing. And you have your reasons, and it's a holy reason, I know. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua 5. Okay, now, so far, now they have crossed the Jordan. And this entire chapter, basically, you would think, as soon as they cross the Jordan River, let's go right in to attack Jericho. And the Lord said, no. And he wants to intimidate the people of Jericho. So here they cross the Jericho. They saw the waters heap up. And they're thinking, okay, they're going to attack. And then what did they do? They circumcised all the males. That's about like saying to the opposing enemy, attack now. That's what Simeon and Levi did. Remember that story? And what the Lord was doing is he was just delaying everything to get an ultimate fear. A fear is going to come over the people of Jericho where a person is so deathly afraid they just walk right on and take it over. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 1. And the Lord's military tactics would not suffice at West Point. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. The morale is just shot. And so the Lord is sending his spirit through there to create an absolute fear. And you're kind of wondering if that's happening to a lot of people in America. We're not under the spirit of fear. So if they were not under that spirit of fear, if their intelligence was, do you know what they just did? Attack now. Okay, so in verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel a second time. And Joshua said, what? Did I get that order right? Are you serious? Okay, and then if you read down through that, you know, I don't know, some of the Bible I do think it's kind of meant for not public reading. But if you think about that, why? I'm sure when he posed that idea to Abraham in Genesis 17, it said, Abraham, we need to make an agreement here. Okay. What do I got to do? Abraham, what? And he had 318 servants or employees, and they said, what? Are you kidding? You got to be kidding. Please be kidding. Okay? And this is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Why would the Lord require something like that? And, you know, it's hard to, I don't know if we're going to get all the answers. I kind of got a theory. And so, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians 6. There is a sin that's very unique that Paul mentions. And I do believe that there can be liberty for some if they learn this idea. 1 Corinthians 6. And again, I'm just trying to put these ideas together, but yet keeping it very above board here. 1 Corinthians 6 shows that there is, in verse, let's see, 15. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. He says, "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." So there's something spiritual going on in this sin. So verse 16, what? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." Now, this second statement, that's a cross-reference to Matthew for marriage, right? Now, there's a slight change, and God is so ever subtle in this, where in verse 16, he says one body, and then he says one flesh. So they're not the same. There's something uniquely different between where the Bible uses the word flesh and when the Bible uses the word body. When somebody dies, what do they say? This is the body. They don't ever say this is the flesh. This is the body. So I think the slight difference between body and flesh is the energy or the life-giving force of the body while you have life, but when that disappears, then we use the word body. So there's a very slight variation in here. And then he says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And then he brings into the idea of a spirit. And then he says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." So something very unique about that idea. And then he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Okay, so here's the idea that I believe the Lord's trying to show us, but yet it's a very unusual idea. Okay, so when the act of fornication is committed, it's not a direct marriage per se, like a husband and wife, when they get married, they become one flesh. Okay, but when the same act takes place, they become one body, slight variation, and there's a spirit involved, meaning there might be a spiritual marriage. Okay, so when this takes place, there is a marriage of spirits between these parties. So let's say party number A has, like Mary Magdalene has seven devils. And party number B has five devils, unique devils. Okay, so you have party A and B, and when they get together, you have 12 together, but now because they're married, all 12 can affect both parties at any time. You're looking at me funny. Kind of strange. Okay, so I'm just kind of throwing this out here. And the reason why Satan is infatuated with this idea, that is how you enslave people. That's how you enslave them. Okay, A and B. Now you have C or D or E or so forth. Now you have a spider web of spirits. 2 Peter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. It's not they will not. They have been bound in this spider web of spirits where they cannot. And when it keeps going down that realm, you have Sodom, Gomorrah, the transgender movement, and there is a point of no return. God says, it's so far gone, I cannot do anything. They're reprobate, and with Sodom, blow it off the map. Okay, and in the sodomy idea, if a person would talk to somebody that has those thoughts, 99 probably percent of the time they have been messed with as a child. There was somebody down in New Orleans passing out tracts, and it was a tract geared towards homosexuals. And he was in the taxi, and he brought that idea up, and the taxi driver said, 100%. Okay, so that was just his opinion. So here's the thought process, okay? If this incident takes place, the spirits of the perpetrator have a free realm in the victim. The spirits in the perpetrator will give thoughts because spirits give us thoughts, right? The devil can give thoughts. So they will give thoughts to this party because of the deep wound that they've experienced. And it is a deep wound. Animals don't experience these things. We are different. We're different than animals. So this deep wound, this child, where this spirit will start throwing ideas, you need to identify with another gender. Or maybe you're not that way, or maybe you're this way. And so then they will begin to get thoughts as a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old child that I don't like the opposite gender. I like this gender. And that's coming from the spirits. Now, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So the Lord has a solution for this. And the solution is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that will break that bondage. And then that child can begin to heal emotionally, mentally, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has infested our culture. And people, and the churches are not singing about the blood anymore. And because the churches have gone to this contemporary stuff, they're not going to mention the blood of Christ. And just for you and I to sing about it or to mention it, that's enough to bother the spirits. And so there's hope for that party that has had a very unfortunate experience in that they can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so a person possibly thinks back and maybe in past times and think about, okay, with me or with so-and-so, okay, then we got to clean ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. Or else these thoughts will keep coming back in our memory, and the devil will use these thoughts to continue to defeat us. Okay, now the one unique, a little bit different, is this is, I do believe, also one of the reasons that the porno industry is so adamant in getting into people's cell phones and in the laptops. Okay, and parents, you know, we think we can block from our kids. They know that stuff, that computer, better than us. And so when they get fornication, and I'm not a Greeky friar, but it comes from pornea. So that's the extended word rhyming with porn, porn. So this is how Satan infiltrates a society. And he can defeat that society, and the people cannot cease from sin except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I dare say this is one way that God, from Abraham all the way through, is a little bit of a prohibition or a hindrance or an idea that this area of life needs to be disciplined. And we need to guard, and you can't be too cautious, okay, about this. And to keep yourself cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. And so in my mind, that would kind of give an answer of why God would require such an unusual idea within a, quote, religious structure. So, and it's something that, you know, I don't think I've heard maybe one preacher kind of talk about this stuff, because it's such an issue that you really don't want to talk about in public, but it needs to be. As ladies, you can encourage young ladies that have gone through issues, okay? And then with boys who've gone through issues, and when you see the transgender and the sodomite movement is a byproduct of something deeper, a lot deeper. And it's outside of the flesh, it steps into the spirit world. And so that's why 1 Corinthians, he writes it that way. You see, the same is very similar to graven images. Okay, the idea with graven images that they are a statue of Mary, St. Christopher, whatnot. Those things are magnets that draw spirits. And the rosary is an incantation. It creates a hypnotic state. And if you ever listen to Catholic radio, you ever hear them go through a mass? In the tractor, I used to listen to the, you know, the mass would come on 11. I thought, oh, okay, I'm listening to this. And I'm in the tractor, and I'm like, you know, where you, Hail Mary, Mother of God, help me in my hour of need. Hail Mary, Mother of God, help me in my hour. It's a hypnotic thing. And so that hypnotism creates the emptying of the mind, and an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's the intent. This is why, have you ever talked to a Catholic and you kind of got in a certain area, and if you watch their eyes real close, their eyes will glass over like they took a hit on weed. And that's the spirit that manifested itself. It'll glass over, they'll become passive, and they won't respond yay nor nay. Yes, sir?
Pastor, real quick, when I was young, we were Catholic, but in Mexico, Texas, it was recited in Latin.
Okay, yeah.
Have you ever heard that
in Latin? Not in Latin.
Brother, I was about 9, 10. And I started realizing there's something different. We went to I was like one of these, like Day of the Dead thing.
Oh. Oh. And see, at the age, a younger person can pick up on these things. And animals can. Animals can sense spirits. Okay? And you think down in Chile, when Brent and Mike went down to Chile years ago with Phil Robinson, and it happened to be, I think, around Halloween. And can you imagine, these people took family picnics to a cemetery to talk with their past relative. It's like, hello. When we were in Colorado Springs, one of the young men in the youth group, his brother was into Satanism. And Colorado Springs has the largest, at that time, the largest Satanist church in America. It's in Manitou Springs. Manitou Springs is a suburb of Colorado Springs. And Manitou is where the Indians worship the god Manitou. And the Satanist underground church is there. And we knew of somebody that had a homeless person at their house. And he said, I was invited to go to such and such place, and they were going to sacrifice me. I got out of there. And we had one of the ladies in the church was a nurse, and at that time, witches would go to the hospitals and ask for the fetuses. Mrs. Koch, remember that, her, Jan? Jeanette Koch? That's what she said. And all the police, all the politicians are into this, And when things happen, they just pull files out of the filing cabinet. KK lived there. You remember Kay, Karen Lee? She lived in Manitou at a castle. They called it a castle. And the landlord asked him, are you one of them Satanists? No, I'm not one of those. But she lived there. And she said there were occasions where she got pushed out of the bed and she knew something was in there. You see, and so they know these things, and these spirits are influencing. And so I would dare say this unique sin is one that the devil knows that's how you enslave a society. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yep. Spirit of whoredoms. Yeah. And that's where you get into Wicca. That's what that's all about. The Catholic Church, what that's all about. All the priests. Okay. And this is something that could just absolutely ruin the testimony of a church. And it can absolutely enslave an individual to the thoughts of the mind. And these thoughts are coming from unclean spirits. And so where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And so the Lord God can use the blood of Christ to help and help that party. Okay? And so this is what's happening to our country. And that's why we need to keep singing about the blood of Christ. And we need to rely upon that. So as far as that in Joshua 5, to me, it's like the Lord, in a way, is telling us this area definitely needs to have discipline. And the society that maintains this is going to be a society that can progress further for the Lord. So I'm going to skip 3 down, because you can read that if you want, you know. But in verse 8, and here's the chance they were taking. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now, how long that takes? So I was very little when that happened to me, so I don't remember. So that's what Simeon and Levi used. They used a truth idea. They used it with the intent to murder. Okay, and but the Lord's intention for this was to give a continual fear over the people in Jericho. And then it says in verse 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. So that's why I'm thinking that's, you couple this with the blood of Christ for the New Testament, that's why the Lord had that. Now, what is that reproach of Egypt? If you go to Leviticus 18. This is what was going on in Egypt. Leviticus 18. I don't think it's a chapter you really want to memorize. So in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land in Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And then when you start reading down, starting in verse 6, okay, and all the way to the end. This is the Bible complete definition for fornication. Now, the word fornication is not in this chapter. So how do we connect it? 1 Corinthians 5. Most of the Greek scholars and most churches teach that fornication is sexual sins among single, they call it premarital. Okay, but that's not the Bible definition. The Bible definition is it involves all, according to Leviticus 18, involves all of them. 1 Corinthians 5 And this was going on in the Church of Corinth. And the Church of Corinth's basic attitude is, oh, we have grace, we have love. This is what's going on in our church. And see how much grace we have. And Paul said, no, no. You don't glory in this. You don't brag about this. And this is what the Sodomite movement is demanding the church is for us to glory in them. And that's when we break that tie. When they expect us to not just tolerate, but respect and promote them. No, no, not doing that. Okay, and so in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, and then one that should have his father's wife. If you have a good reference Bible, where does it take you, the cross-reference to? Leviticus 18, around what, maybe 9 or 10 in that range. So we get in the New Testament, we see that unique word, and it cross-references back to Leviticus 18. So Leviticus 18, that entire chapter, is the Bible definition for that sin. And the uniqueness of that sin is it goes into the spirit of a party. And so this is a wonderful tool that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So that, to me, that's kind of sort of kind of why. And of course, the devil and advertisement, we see it all in advertisements. It's everywhere around us. You can't even go to a cemetery without seeing a symbol of this. Okay? And you see government buildings and you see this symbol. It's all around. It's permeated everywhere because the devil knows that unique sin is how you enslave a people with no recovery. Once they get down, all the way down that path of a reprobate, boy, you can see where our country's at. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening in our country. Okay, so back in Joshua 5, verse 10, we can go back there and try to finish out the chapter. Okay, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. Okay, that's the place, like their headquarters, and kept the Passover. At Gilgal is where they put those stones that they picked up out of the Jordan River. And kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. So the Lord's not in a hurry, is he? Come on, let's get over there and tech. No, 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 you need to worship me for a while. So they kept the Passover. And just think, all this time the people in Jericho are so, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? What are they doing? I can't sleep at night. Sleep deprivation will drive a person crazy. And so it's like, and the Lord is just slowly putting more and more fear on them. So here they do the Passover, the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Okay, so now they got that done. And Joshua's like, come on, are we going to attack here? So, verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Do you know why the Lord actually kept those Canaanites there instead of wiping them out? He wanted the fruit to be ready for them. Can you imagine a people where the Lord just said, I want you to keep taking care of this property until my children come in. And then they're just going to wipe you out and they get to eat of your fruit. Because they've been doing that to people for years. You reap what you sow. Then in 13. Okay, in 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. So now Joshua probably said, okay, it's about time. Now we're getting ready to go. That he looked up his eyes and looked, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Notice, a man. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And Joshua probably, if he didn't have his sword drawn, he was probably, you know, quick draw. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ shows up. And Joshua knew exactly who that was. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. That is the ideal place to worship. On our face down, worshiping God. Okay, and then if we want to reach up and grab his feet like Mary did worship said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Holy, that's funny. In a Bible, it's called a holy book. You know, the Quran's called a holy book. The first time the word holy shows up in a Bible is in Exodus 3, verse 5, when Moses was standing on some dirt. And what made the dirt holy was the God, I am Jesus Christ. And now Joshua gets to experience the same I am. He is now the captain of the host of the Lord. And he says, you're standing in holy ground. Take your shoes off. So I don't know if the Lord believed in earthing. Anything like that. But the Lord, it's kind of interesting how the Lord, like the Tower of Babel, they used brick and mortar, but yet the Lord didn't want brick, man-made brick, for his temple. He had stones. And so it's like the Lord says, take them man-made things off. I want to see the things that I've created standing on holy ground. And so Joshua did what he said, did so, and the Lord blessed him as a result of his obedience, and now he's ready, and now the children of Israel need to be sanctified, and they're ready, and then the Lord's going to do the fighting for them. Okay, so that's chapter 5. Okay, chapter 6, we'll do that another time. Let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us somehow, some way to try to figure out some of your ways. Very unusual. This was an unusual requirement. And there's a reason. I think possibly figured the reason out. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us when we cross the path of somebody who has had some tragic events of the past, that we might be able to offer them hope in Jesus Christ. And if some of us in our past, we haven't cleansed some areas in our lives, maybe we need to do that and cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of this flesh and spirit. And then it's under the blood and it's cleaned and we're cleaned, and we thank you for that because you cleanse us from all sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.